What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is History's Hidden Killers. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
So this next conversation here that we're having about Dennis Rader, BTK, has to live with the question the other ones don't really have, which is, what the hell happened during the 13 years between January of 1991, when Dennis Rader killed Dolores Davis in Park City, and March of 2004, when he started writing letters to the Wichita Eagle again? That stretch is on the official record as quiet. No confirmed murders, no taunting communications, no public BTK activity at all, just the compliance officer in his city truck, the church council president at the lectern, the husband, the dad, the Cub Scout leader. And the standard line in every documentary on this period is that Rader stopped killing, got it under control, aged out, settled in, became the man you saw in handcuffs on the news in 2005, the city employee with the badge. And that story might be true. It might also be incomplete. The reason I want to spend an entire episode on this, because it's the part of the case nobody fully understands, is that serial killers don't always stop. The default assumption with a man like Rader is not that the killer chose to retire. The default assumption is that the killer kept going, slower, or in different places, or in different ways, and the system missed it. So the 13 quiet years are either 13 years of him stopping or 13 years of nothing investigators caught. There is a difference between those two things. This is the fourth of five conversations about Dennis Rader and the case the country has been telling wrong for 20 years. We've already taken apart the legend he wrote about himself. The chase that didn't close, the costumes that made him invisible. Each of those had an answer at the end. This one doesn't fully. So let me walk you through what's on the record, what is suspected, and what is still actually actively being investigated. Let's start with the last person Dennis Rader will kill that the file can prove. January 19th in 1991, Dolores Davis, 62 years old at the time, a widow living alone in Park City, Kansas, 2 miles from Dennis Rader's own house. He breaks in, he waits, he kills her, puts her body in the trunk of his own car, drives the car to a county road outside town and dumps her under a bridge, and he drives home. Then he goes to bed. Next morning, he gets up, goes to work as a compliance officer for the city of Park City, checks tall grass. He finds a junked car, keeps that job for the next 14 years. Dolores Davis's body is found February 1st in 1991. 12 days later, Park City has a brief moment of public alarm, and then it settles. The community has been on edge for so long that a new shock has a short half-life. The next city council meeting, the compliance officer wears his clipboard and his badge and listens like any other citizen. Kills nobody else that the official record will ever name. Serial killers do not always stop. That's the line every expert repeats carefully when they talk about cases that go cold and stay cold. Killers age. Killers find new vectors. Killers get caught for something else. Killers die. But the killer fully stopped killing and lived as a regular husband and father for 13 years straight is not the default explanation in any of these cases. It is one possibility. It is not the leading one, however. So what exactly happened during the quiet years? There are three theories. I'm going to walk through each one of them. Theory one. He stopped. The case for him stopping is particularly circumstantial. By the time he killed Dolores, Davis Rader was 45. By 2004, when he resurfaced, he was 59. His daughter Carrie was a teenager. And then a young adult during these years. He had a job he liked. He had a church he ran. He had a city truck and a badge and a clipboard and a routine. He also had a wife. Paula Rader is one of the great unanswered figures of the BTK case. She lived in the same house with him for more than 30 years and by every public account did not know what he was doing. She would file for divorce after the arrest. The marriage ended after more than three decades. What did Paula see during the silent years? She saw the husband. She did not, by her own statements and by every official account, see anything else. What did the silent years look like day to day? He got up at 6. He drove the city truck. He sighted residents. He came home for dinner. He took the Cub Scout pack to summer camp. Drove his son Brian to college. Drove his daughter Carrie to high school events. He sat on the church council. He sat on two municipal boards. He measured grass with a tape measure. He brought home a city paycheck. He went to bed in the same bed he had slept in for 20 years next to a wife who, by all accounts, loved him. That's what the years looked like from the outside. And there's a quieter psychological note in there worth raising. Rader, in his correspondence from prison with the forensic psychologist Dr. Catherine Ramsland, used a specific phrase for his own cycle. He called it powering down, powering up. The phrasing is his. According to Ramsland, he experienced long stretches where the urge cooled. He stayed busy in his official roles. The urge would eventually, however, return. By his own account to her, he was powering down through the 90s. He says he never got the full charge back. Ramsland's own conclusion is layered. She wrote in her 2016 book, based on more than a decade of correspondence with him, that he was no longer able to keep the killing running alongside the increasing demands of his family, his job, and his church. The killing required, in her terms, preparation, surveillance, opportunity, and risk tolerance. As he aged, he had less of all four. He could imagine. He could not always act. His writing, however, never stopped. He filled notebooks through the entire silent stretch. Those notebooks are now in police custody. They are part of the public record of the case. At least some are. But he also, by his own account, never lost the underlying interest. He kept his hit kit. He kept the drawings. He kept the fantasies. A man who keeps the kit is a man who is not done. Theory two. He didn't stop. In 2023, an Oklahoma sheriff named Eddie Vierden announced what he called a BTK task force. The job of that task force was to investigate whether Dennis Rader had been responsible for cold cases in multiple states during the years he was supposed to have stopped. The case getting the most public attention is the disappearance of Cynthia Dawn Kinney, 16 years old, a cheerleader. June 23rd of 1976 in Pawhuska, Oklahoma. Cindy left her shift at the Osage Laundromat, which was owned by her aunt and uncle. Reportedly, she was last seen getting into a beige 1965 Plymouth with two women she did not appear to know. She had never been seen alive since. Her body has never been found. In August of 2023, the Osage County Sheriff's Office released a journal entry written in Dennis Rader's own hand. The entry described a fantasy of taking a young woman from a laundromat. Rader had a title for the project. He named it Bad Wash Day. Rader denies the Kinney case. He gave investigators an alibi. He says rules him out. He told reporters he was working in Wichita on the day in question. He told reporters the sheriff had, in his own words, a complete lack of solid evidence. In September of 2023, the Osage County District Attorney Mike Fisher told reporters that, in his judgment, the evidence does not support charges against Rader in the Kinney case. Fisher said the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation was looking at another lead. That lead is a man who is now dead. So as of the most recent public statements, Kinney is officially open. The Osage County Sheriff's Office still calls Rader a prime suspect. The DA does not, though. The OSBI is following someone else. Three offices, three positions, one missing girl. Three things are also true at once. Rader denies it. The journal entry exists. The match between his written fantasy and the actual case exists. The match does not prove anything. It also is not nothing. Theory three. Some or both. There may not have been 13 years of nothing. There may have been 13 years of less, fewer attempts, fewer completions, maybe one, maybe two, maybe in different states, different jurisdictions, took a field trip, different filing cabinets, all of whom are treating their own local mysteries as their own local mysteries. The cold cases that have been named in connection to Rader spanned three states in several decades. Some have been ruled out as geography. It didn't fit the alibi, or the alibis did. One is worth flagging specifically, Shauna Beth Garber, 22. She was found dead in McDonald County, Missouri in December of 1990. The Osage County Undersheriff in Oklahoma had publicly called Rader a prime suspect. In March of 2024, Missouri authorities officially attributed Garber's death to a different man, Telfley Reeves, who died in 2021. Garber is off the BTK list. Kinney remains on it. On August 22nd, 2023, sheriff's deputies excavated a property near Rader's former house in Park City, Kansas. They used cadaver dogs. They used ground-penetrating radar. They worked for several days. They were searching on the record for evidence of additional killings he may have concealed near his house. They've not publicly announced any finding, which doesn't mean there's nothing there. It means what has been looked at so far has not yet produced a publicly disclosed result of any substance. So why does any of this matter? Because Dennis Rader is 81 years old. He is serving 10 consecutive life sentences at El Dorado Correctional Facility in Kansas. Reports from people in contact with him describe declining health. He is, by the actual table, in the last stretch of his life. Whatever he knows that the record has not confirmed is going to leave the world when he does. The families waiting for answers are also aging. Cynthia Kinney's family is still waiting. 50 years after she walked out of her aunt and uncle's laundromat, they are not the only families in this position. The clock is on their side in the sense that Raider is still alive. The clock is against them in every other sense. There's also a structural point worth making about all this. Dennis Rader has, throughout his correspondence and his public statements from prison, denied any killings beyond his confessed 10 in Kansas. He has been consistent about this for two decades. His denials are, by the standards of a known his own self-myths. It's very complicated. They leave him with a clean number, 10, a clean confession, 10, a clean legacy he can keep telling himself. He thinks he nailed it. The serial killer who killed 11 is a serial killer with a very loose thread. Dennis Rader has never been comfortable with loose threads. He may be telling the truth. He may also be protecting his own number. His daughter, Carrie Rawson, has written publicly about what it was like to be raised by him during the silent years. She grew up not knowing. She's been clear in interview after interview that she had no warning. She was raised by the father Dennis Rader appeared to be. She did not meet the other man until the day the news broke. For Carrie, the quiet years were her entire childhood. This is the fourth uncomfortable truth in the series. The 30-year BTK story we tell ourselves has a clean end. February 25th, 2005, the arrest, the confession, the sentencing, case closed. The case is not actually closed. The case is closed for the 10 murders Dennis Rader confessed to in Kansas. The case is not closed for the rest. For Kinney, for any other person whose disappearance overlapped with his geography, his pattern, and his fantasies, for every family that has been told for half a century that the investigation is still ongoing, Dennis Rader may die with the answers he has chosen not to give. That's not the same as giving. It's not the same thing as the case being over. There's a Park City property under the supervision of a sheriff's office in another state. There's a cold case in Pawhuska, Oklahoma, that has been open for 50 years. There's a journal entry in Rader's own handwriting describing a young woman in a laundromat. It's no proof. There's also no confidence. Dennis Rader, by every visible sign, is going to die a man with a list nobody has been able to fully verify. Which leads us to the last conversation, because in the end, none of the investigative work actually caught Dennis Rader. Not the sketches, not the voice tape, not the engineering library letter, not the Anna Williams attempt, not 18 years of misdirected suspicion, not the 1979 FBI profile. He caught himself. Next time, the floppy disk. How a man whose vanity carried him through 30 years finally let his vanity do him in. Give us your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Love to continue the conversation there. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play. For free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Bretzky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps.
You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.